understanding, get the right understanding. Three of the most important things you need to understand in life, I think, at least I thought this while I was writing this out. It could be some other things, but this is what came to my mind. So this is what we're going to talk about because I have the microphone. You don't. So, okay, number one, who you are, why you're here is number two, and number three, where are you going? Who you are, why you're here, and where you're going. It was way back before you were born, 1987-ish. I grew up in Southern California. I went snow skiing in the local mountains with my brother. And while he was in the restroom, I was waiting for him in the lodge. And this strange woman came up to me and told me something. She said, "One day you're going to know who you are." I'm like, yeah, it sounds profound. Back then, I was like, "You are out of your mind, woman. I know who I am, and I know who you are. You're a nutcase." So I wrote it off. I just blew it off. I said, it didn't make any sense to me. But that was a prophetic word spoken over my life by this strange woman that came true in 2014. That's like not long ago, 6 years ago, almost to the day. Wow, wait a minute, what's today's date? Whoa. No, okay, so 10 more days from now. So it would have been 6 years, 10 days from now. So that was important. Okay, so let me back this all up. I had no clue who I was. I mean, I was Jack. I was this guy. And I had this and that. And I would do this and do that. And it was like, I'm a funny guy. But I really didn't understand at the essence of who I was. I had no clue that I was a precious child of God, that I was a son of God, and that he loved me. I was completely clueless to that. I just thought, well, we go to church, and we just do church things. And that was the extent of my faith. My faith was very shallow. Now, I'm telling you this, okay? So that woman spoke to me. Now, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking this truth into your heart and into your mind. I'm going to prophetically speak these words to you and say, one day, you will know who you are. And I'm telling you, one of these days, you're going to slip out of this earth suit of yours. You're going to stand before God Almighty, light, pure truth, pure love, no shadow, no deception, no nothing, and you are going to stand before that. You want that to be a great day, not an oops day. Most people, when they die and stand before God, it's all oops. And hopefully your oops isn't going to be a big oops. As little of an oops as possible, okay? Oops! Okay, so everybody in purgatory has experienced the oops, because that's where you go when you say oops. So believe me, you want that day to be a good day, not an oops day. So let's switch gears just a little bit right now. Bear with me. I'm not a very good note taker, and I'm really bad at following notes, but let's try this. Is anybody afraid of spiders? Oh, my God. Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Look, a spider! Ah! How about snakes? Snakes, yeah. Yeah, Emmaus. You live in Emmaus. You live with snakes. Heights, afraid of heights. Yeah. Well, I was afraid of something. I was afraid of deep water. Deep, dark water. Not good. I remember when I was young, I was about 10 years old, somewhere around there, and we would go vacationing at this lake called Lake Tahoe. I just found out just recently, it's the eighth deepest body of water on planet Earth. Okay, so it's like that sucker's deep. And that water's cold. Okay, deep and cold, double whammy, okay? I like a shallow pool of warm water, okay? Now, we were on the boat and we were going water skiing. I didn't know how to water ski, but we were gonna go water skiing because, you know, we're gonna go water skiing. But see, you don't water ski in water that's like 42 degrees. It's not right. But anyways, we were there. And so while I was on the back of the boat, my sister was out, you know, and she said, hit it. And my dad hit it, but didn't realize that I was on the back of the boat, just being an idiot. I do that well. And so the boat went, I didn't, and I ended up in the lake. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. I was frightened. I swam so fast after the boat. My parents, my siblings, they all laughed because they thought it was funny. I was frightened out of my mind. And I never overcame that. I still have not overcome that. And I think that's okay because I don't plan on going in any deep, dark waters anymore. So we're fine. But I also had a jet ski. Well, it wasn't a jet ski. It was a personal watercraft. Sea-Doo. You know, the kind you sit on like a motorcycle. Really cool. So when I lived at... You see, it's before your age. It was jet skis came out first, and then these came out. So jet skis were those... Okay, we got that straightened. Good. Whew. Okay, I got to be moving, man. My time is short. So we would go out in Long Beach Harbor. Long Beach Harbor is almost like a lake. It's huge. It's like a massive harbor. And so you got breakwaters, and so it's like this huge lake. But we would go out into the ocean once in a while because that's where the big waves are. Okay, so you want to get out in the big waves, and you fly over these big waves, and it's really fun. But I fell off once, and that was, like, really freaky because I'm out in the ocean water, and there's, like, could be submarines underneath me for all I know. So anyways, so that's fear. So why do we fear? Why do we fear? We fear the unknown. The unknown is very scary to us. Right now, there's a lot of fear in the world, wouldn't you say? They say there's a lot of fear because of this pandemic, okay? And why? Because it brings death. Okay? Wouldn't you agree that death is the mother of all fears? That's like game over. That's like all other fears are based off of that one. You know, you watch a horror movie. You shouldn't be watching horror movies anyways. But that's what's it all based on? It's all based on death. It's like, oh my gosh, we're going to die. Yeah. Okay. So that's what... Now, why did Jesus come to earth? To destroy death and to reveal the Father's love. Those two things. He came to destroy death and reveal the Father's love. Now, after Jesus rose from the dead, where were the apostles? And how were they feeling? They were all scared to death, weren't they? They were huddled up in this room, locked the doors, and all of a sudden, Jesus comes through the walls. Now, that certainly doesn't help your fear issues, does it? It just freaks you out even more. It's like, wow. And then what does he say? Be not afraid, right? It's like, wait a minute. Like, are you kidding me? You just walk through the wall and you're telling me not to be afraid. I'm freaking out, you know? Can you imagine? That must have been really crazy. Did they ever overcome their fear? Did they ever get over their fear? Yes. When did they overcome their fear? Pentecost. The Holy Spirit gave them the grace. It's grace, guys. It's all about grace. Sanctifying grace in your soul. It's your identity. It's who you are. It's what makes this whole thing work. And Pentecost was where it all came together. So Jesus put his spirit in the apostles. Jesus puts his spirit in us through baptism, confirmation, and of course the sacraments. Sanctifying grace is the spirit of God in you that destroys the fear of death. Now, so the Christian, there's another reason why. This is another very good reason why a Christian should not fear death. Because if you understood Christianity, you would understand that in your baptism, you have already died. You've already experienced it. You remember? Your fear is a fear of the unknown. But you will know death if you have died with Christ. And if you've died with Christ, then you will rise with Christ. A Christian really never dies. But here's the thing. You have to believe it. You have to die. I'm sorry, guys. I mean, don't tell your parents. I don't know, but Jack told us to die. But You see, you got to agree with the death that you've already died in your baptism. You have to ratify that reality. This was something that I did not have. I really did not have this. I was just a nominal Christian. Oh, gosh, we're running out of time. So here I was, 2014. I'm a hot mess because things just weren't going my way. I wasn't feeling it anymore. I've been living this life of poverty, chastity, and obedience for some 20 years. I'm like, okay, I'm done. This just isn't working for me. There's got to be something better. I mean, I'm old, but I'm not that quite old, so maybe I can still do something with my life. So I'm thinking about this. And when you're thinking that way, you know, your mind is going in places that, you know, you shouldn't be. It's like, you know, but here's another problem with not understanding who you are. Your whole Christian life is going to be like this. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Why? Because you don't know who you are. You're not anchored in who you are. So you're going to fall out of grace. You're going to go to confession. You're going to get cleaned up. You're going to be on this high. You're going, oh, gosh, God loves me, loves me. And it's, and it's like the world and the flesh and the devil are just, and then you, I got to go to confession again. And then you go to back, hey, yeah, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. And he's just getting this crazy roller coaster. And it's horrible. It's a horrible life. Who wants to live like that? And you probably all are. But anyways, just kidding. I know I'm a bad speaker. I'm not very uplifting, am I? I should be more encouraging. You're all so amazing. Oh, don't ever change. No, that's a lie. I'm telling you to die, get it over with, and move on. So let's get, okay, where am I? Who am I? Where am I going? Why am I here? Okay, so my gosh, I really did lose my track of my where was I? I'm off my notes so far. I'm gone. So, okay, yes, here I was. I'm a mess, okay? I'm ready to leave the Catholic core. I'm ready to chuck celibacy and poverty and obedience, certainly. But the celibacy thing, too, I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, you can only do this for so long. But, hey, I'm a guy. This is normal. So, anyways. Anyways, there was a service corps, and hats off to service corps. There was a service corps that year who was really super spiritual, and he heard God's voice. And he came up to me after Mass, and he said, God told me to tell you something. And I'm like, ooh, really? He said, yes, God told me to tell you that you're supposed to find your joy in him. I'm like, ooh, okay. I knew exactly what that meant. That meant, you know, Jack, stop messing around. You know, it's like I felt like God was calling me on the carpet, but it wasn't that. It was a prophetic word to lift me up. God was telling me, he was prophetically telling me that I would find my joy in him, but I misinterpreted that, and I thought he was like, you know, scolding me, because when you have the misunderstanding of your father's love, you'll think that he's just an angry dad, right? He's not. He's your loving father. So that was my twisted disposition. So I'm like, okay, great. I received that message, and now I'm like, oh, this is really a hard one to swallow. But anyways, that very night, I was watching some YouTube videos, and I usually watch YouTube videos that have something about the paranormal, like, you know, possessed people and their heads spinning around and climbing up walls and all this crazy stuff, because I needed that shock to keep me on the straight and narrow. But anyways, that night, I stumbled across this other video, and it was this Protestant guy, and it was about him going through the streets in New York City healing people. And I was going to watch that and just make fun of it, because I know, and you know, that there's no such thing. So people don't get healed these days. Or if they do, it's in Lourdes and Fatima and those shrines. So I watched it, and it looked pretty real. And then I watched more from this guy, and I'm like, that's interesting. And then I watched one where he did something absolutely amazing. He told me, or he was preaching is what he was. He was sharing his testimony, which was pretty amazing. Then he shared the Father's love that he had for me, for himself and for all the baptized. He was talking about baptism. He was saying that when Jesus came down to the Jordan to get baptized, John the Baptist said, what is it that you're doing coming to me? I should be going to you. I should be baptized by you, but yet you're coming to me. And Jesus said something very profound. He said, John, we must do this in order to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus did not need to be baptized, but in his baptism, we get baptized. Everything is with, in, and through Christ. It's Jesus or nothing. This is very binary if you're a computer guy. It's on or off. It's Jesus or nothing, okay? This is important because when Jesus came out of the water, the Father said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Was Jesus well pleased to the Father at that point, or was it he always well pleased to the Father? He was always well pleased to the Father. Again, it was for us in our baptism. The Father spoke over us, each one of us. "You are mine. I love you. You are precious." I will never stop thinking that. That's another amazing fact about God. He is immutable. Immutable means he cannot change his mind. Once he says it, it's done. He spoke that over me. So here I am listening to this guy basically tell me the good news. That's the kerygma. That's the basis of our faith. And so I was like, okay, this has been an interesting day. So I just got told by this guy, his service corps, that I'm supposed to like believe that God loves me and I'm to find my joy in him. I'm supposed to find my joy in God. I still don't understand that. To me, God was like this non-joy thing. It was just this deity way out there in the distance that one day I'm going to be standing in front of. So, and then I watched this crazy Protestant guy running around doing mighty deeds in God's name. And I'm like, "What are you doing there, Lord?" Like, so I'm in the chapel and I'm praying. I'm saying, "Jesus, what's going on? Wait a minute. I'm confused." You see, I was upset. I was envious. And I said, this guy who has such a relationship with you, Jesus, and the Father, and he's so on fire, and you seem to be okay with that, even though he's not Catholic, and you're blessing him, and I believe you're blessing him. I'm upset because that should be me. Why did I think that should be me? Because for 20 years, I've been going to Mass every day. I've been praying a rosary every day. I've been going to holy hours every day. I had calluses on my knees this thick. Well, that thick. So, well, it's not. Here's what he told me, like in my heart. I didn't hear verbal words, but I heard this. He says, "Do you want it?" Okay, now it's a game changer, because now I knew, because I knew if I said yes, I want what I saw this guy walking in, which was the healing ministry powers, I would have to die that night. There was going to have to be a death. Now, free will, I could have put that off. I could have been like St. Thomas Aquinas, or was it Augustine, who says, "Make me a saint, Lord, but not today." But this was a moment for me. I was at the end. I was finally going, okay, I'm about ready to jump ship and try something different, but gosh, why don't I try this? Let's give God a shot. Okay, Lord, tell you what. Yes, I do want that. But on this condition, that it's Catholic and that you literally kill the old me. Okay, kill me. I don't even know what the new me is supposed to look like, but I saw an image of what it might look like, and I want that. I don't want this anymore. He who loves his life loses it. Truly, truly, I say unto you, if a seed does not fall into the ground and die, it remains alone, which is where I was. But if it were to die, it would bear much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will save it for all eternity. If any man were to follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be, and my Father will honor you. It's like an amazing, it's like, why don't we read the Gospels more? Well, we don't, because we don't have eyes to see, we don't have ears to hear, because we're listening and we're looking through our old nature mindsets. So here's what I did, real quick. We're running out of time. I decided that I was going to believe that I was a precious son of God in whom he's well pleased. And the only way I was going to get this truth into my head is if I pounded it into my head, even though it would be like the craziest thought ever. So I decided to say it over and over and over again. I started saying it, "Father, I am your beloved son in whom you are well pleased. Father, I am your beloved son in whom you are well pleased." I did this for 6 or 7 straight days. I think it was 6 days because that was on a Saturday. And then it was Saturday of the first fest that God revealed himself to me in a very, very dramatic way. It's grace through faith. I had to exercise faith in the most important thing that you can possibly believe in. If I was to ask you, what's the most important thing you can believe in? Would it be the church? Yeah, that's good. Is it Jesus? Yeah, well, that's good. Well, but the most important thing that you can believe in is who you now are now that Christ has won your salvation. Because that's the faith that's going to elevate you and take you to a new level of understanding. It's very tricky to get that kind of faith down. So anyways, I kept repeating hundreds of times a day. It's a lot like the walls of Jericho. You remember when they talked about the walls of Jericho? They circled the walls and banged pots and blew trumpets. They didn't touch anything, but after 6 days, the walls came down. So what I was doing is I was tearing down the strongholds, these little fortresses of lies that were in my head that told me that I wasn't worthy of his love and that I was this or I was that because I've done this or this has happened to me. All those lies I was breaking down through pure repetitiveness, just saying, "Father, I am your blessed, I'm your precious son in whom you are well pleased." And so while I was walking across the parking lot across the field going towards the Jacinta shelter where we eat the food. If you didn't know where the Jacinta shelter was. So while I was walking across, all of a sudden I was just repeating, going, "Father, I am your beloved son in whom you're well pleased." Oh, and by the way, confession is very important in this whole regards, okay? Just so you know. So it's repentance, okay? Repentance. So I knew I needed to go to confession. Now, did I confess anything other than what I normally confess? No, same old stuff. But this time it was different. This time I was done with the old self. This time I was saying, "Man, I'm going to confess these sins and that's it." And I had a firm conviction. I was like, "No, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going there anymore." And it was a great confession. Even Father Clem said, "That was a nice confession." I was like, "Yeah, okay, great." And you know what? After that, I didn't feel anything. There were no fuzzy feelings. And even the night before when I gave Christ, I said, "Jesus, kill me. I'm yours." You know, I just want what I saw in that video. I didn't feel anything. I just went to bed, woke up, went to confession, had a great confession, didn't feel anything. But I kept at it. I just broke those walls down, took 6 days. So I'm walking across the field and I'm saying these things. And all of a sudden I feel this, like it felt like there was this big fish. It's the best way I can explain it. I can't explain it. But there's this big movement inside my chest. It was like flopping around. I was like, "Whoa, I'm having a heart attack." It's like, so I stopped, and it stopped. Like, "Oh, okay. Well, I'll get back to my mantra. Jesus, or Father, I believe you love me." And as soon as I said that, it started coming back again. And I said, "Stopped." I stopped saying it. It went away. I would start saying it. It'd come back. It was like, "Whoa. What is going on?" It was God. Jesus, because I had told Jesus, I said, "Jesus, I want to be your living tabernacle. I want to be your living tabernacle." And he said, "That's what I died for. That's exactly what I wanted." You think he died on the cross and rose again and just so he can stay in some lousy little metal boxes? I mean, they're not even gold. Some are gold-plated, but really? No. He died so he can be inside of you. But he died to transform you. He died to put his spirit inside of you. So you'd be so possessed by his spirit, it would be the most amazing oneness, which the marriage covenant is supposed to reflect. That reflects Christ and his church, the bride. We're all the bride of Christ. We're all You know, you got to have that understanding that he wants to move in. But he wants to make your life so amazing. I'm telling you, if you get this, if you finally get past that point of no return, I call it the point of no return, because once you go past that, you ain't going back. I'm telling you, there's no going back. I mean, I suppose I could. I could be really stupid and go back. But I already know what that's like. The last 6 years of my life have been absolutely amazing. How could I possibly had imagined that I would be in front of crowds like this almost on a regular basis, sharing my testimony, speaking truth into the lives of people, and changing lives? Wow, that's amazing. And I'm not speaking to you from some theoretical something I read about in a book or I went and got a degree in this or that. No, this is just a testimony that what has God done for me? He's changed my life because now I know who I am. People have challenged me on that. You really believe you're the Son of God? Not the Son of God, a Son of God. Little sip up there. Almost had a heresy, Jack. Woo! You can tell your parents about that one, too. No, really. They've asked me. They said, you really believe that? And I go, well, you know what? Here's the truth. If I don't believe I'm a precious Son of God, that means I'm believing a lie. I don't want to believe a lie about myself. Now, does that mean that I'm perfect? Absolutely not. I still go to confession. But it's a world of difference. There's a world of difference between my confessions now and the confessions before. There are things now that don't even call my name, because that's not who I am. Before it would call my name. It's like, oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Not anymore. That's like, that guy's dead. He really is. He really is. He's dead. He ain't answering that phone. He can't. Okay? So that's the new life Christ has given to each one of us, the potential for each one of us. To wrap it up real fast, just a real quick wrap up. I know the staff is over there going, oh, Jack, we want to go to bed real bad. But this is the never-ending gospel, okay? All right, this is not Jesus. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you said that. He just pulled Jesus out of his pocket. No. This is bread. All right, this is just bread. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's not consecrated yet. Yet, it won't anyways, because I'll throw this away or I'll eat it. Why do we believe that after the priests says the prayers of consecration over this, that this is no longer bread. It is actually the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Why? Faith. We believe it. Consecrated. Now, let me ask you this. You were consecrated. Who are you? Are you the old Adam, the old Eve? Or are you a precious daughter of God? Are you a precious son of God? Again, it doesn't mean you have to be perfect. This isn't for perfect people. This is for redeemed people. This is for people who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's a game changer. And you can push it off and push it off and push it off and say, yeah, whatever. Well, you look forward, because you're going to have an oops day. I'm telling you. But you know what? You're going to have the most amazing life you can ever imagine, because your Father in heaven loves you so much. He wants to bless you infinitely. He wants to so bless you, but he can't bless you unless you know who you are. Because if he was to bless a lie, he'd be an enabler. And he's a good father. He's a good, good father. He only blesses sons and daughters. And it doesn't mean you're going to have the prosperity thing going for you, but you'll have a life of grace that will wreck everyone around you and just freak them out, and they're going to go, what's up with you? All because you believed. Because in the end, there's going to be believers and there's going to be non-believers. Simple as that. Do you actually believe that this is, or could have been, God himself? You know, there's this picture I have in my phone. I'll end with this. The last ending, okay? This plane never lands, by the way. So there's this picture of Jesus on my phone. This is like cute little, I love him so much, okay? He's really cute. Okay, so one night I'm going to bed, and I'm sitting on my bed, and I put my phone there because that's my alarm clock, and, you know, it's going to, 2 minutes, it's going to go blank. But while it's there, I'm looking at Jesus, and I'm going, wow, this is amazing. Like, I got this great grace that you, the Son of God, walked the earth. You knew who you were. You walked the earth. Like, really, think about it. It's like, that's crazy. And I said, Jesus, what was that like? And he said, I don't know. What's it like for you? Uh-huh. Right. What's it like for you? Like, here's your opportunity to walk the earth as a beloved son, as a beloved daughter. These signs shall follow those who believe. They will heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and drive out demons. Superhero powers. You're all superheroes. Only if you know who you are. So I started to believe in this superpower thing, and I started praying for people, and I started to see healings. Like, wow, that's crazy. And more than just headaches. Like, really some amazing things. And I'd love to be used like that. It's like, wow, this is really amazing. But I don't look at that as a means of my identity. So when somebody doesn't get healed, it doesn't change who I am. That's all right. It doesn't change a thing. So I'm not doing it to find my identity. I do it from my identity. So let's just close with a prayer, guys. Let's just bow our heads, okay? Let's just ask Holy Spirit to come right now. Just come, Holy Spirit. Come now. Come as you wish. Come, Holy Spirit. Come now. Come as you wish. Touch these hearts. Touch our minds. Reveal truth to us. Help us to have a clearer, better understanding of who we are. Help us to walk this out. Time is so precious. Let us redeem the time, for the days are evil. Father God, I just ask for your anointing and blessing to come upon every soul in this room, that there would be an awakening, a deep awakening of heart and mind to the reality of Jesus, who went to the cross to save us from our old self, from our old nature, and give us a life of abundance. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus, you came that we may have life and have it in abundance, and that we would never die. Help us to let go and surrender and believe everything that you have for us, that we may walk these paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We ask the Blessed Mother and good Saint Joseph, our guardian angels and patron saints, and all those of the heavenly court to intercede powerfully for us and for our family and loved ones, that we may make a difference in the world, that we may understand who we are, because the world is in such dire straits. The world is groaning for the sons and daughters to be revealed. Help us to understand more fully who we are, and that we may be that light in the darkness, so that we go into a room, we turn on the light, that there is no more darkness, there is light, because we have entered the room. Father, we thank you. We thank you, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All right, folks. Thank you.